Welcome, everybody, to the big call tonight. It's Tuesday, October 28th, and you're listening to the big call. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in again on this Tuesday night. We look forward to bringing a really good call to you tonight with good information, and I'm sure Sue has some wonderful things to bring, and I know Bob does, too. So we're looking forward to getting started. Let's do it. Let's pray the call in, and then we'll go to Sue for what should be another excellent teaching for us from God's Word. Lord God, thank you so much for where we are right now at this particular time, what we have, the many blessings that we can count. Thank you for our future blessing. Thank you for everything that's moving us forward in that direction so that we can open our arms to receive everything that you have to bring to us. Thank you for the lives that we have, the friends that we have, the love that we share. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, Sue, this is it.
This is it. This is going to be a thrilling evening. Wait until you hear.
Okay. Wait till I hear.
Between
I can't wait.
Between the World Series. Okay,
yes.
So in case people didn't hear before, we were talking about the strategy of winning and baseball and coming back from behind. And that applies to everybody on this call. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, Approaching Life. What we think is possible during our lifetime has a radical effect on our approach to life. The believer has an advantage as we have the privilege of living with no impossibilities.
Mm.
If this becomes true in our attitude and thoughts, it helps to shape our worldview. These preset values are much like the default on a computer. The word processing program on my MacBook Pro already has a font chosen, the size of that font, page layout, etc. In life, we have similar preset values. They heavily influence our immediate reaction to a problem or an opportunity or a game. When those values are more than concepts, but are the burning convictions based on what God says about life, they enable us to perceive more than would naturally be possible. But if those values are shaped by secular culture, our disappointments, or even certain parts of church history, they influence our perspective dramatically away from God's purpose and plan. This is a huge issue, for if my approach to life is different from his, I will develop a culture around me that supports my view. These cultures sustain errors in thought, ambition, and faith. Here's an example. The mere expectation of evil increasing in the earth without a conviction of God's heart for answers creates a people without hope. In a strange sense, we then become people who are encouraged over the increase of evil as it becomes a sign that we are in the last days spoken of in Scripture. You must never find encouragement in the lack of breakthrough of kingdom realities. Let me say that one more time. We must never find encouragement in the lack of breakthrough of kingdom realities. It is time to make a decision not to embrace any theology for the last days that doesn't require faith to see it happen. Many believers answer my challenge by saying their hope is in the return of Christ. While his return is more glorious than any of us could possibly imagine, our faith must produce impact on the realities we face now.
Yeah, that's
right. It is a weak Christian culture that allows and sometimes gives honor to those who have a faith in the return of Jesus or medbeds or whatever is outside and not in the now, but have little to no faith in the power of the gospel to effect change right now and change in their lives right now. Once again, faith then becomes untested and unproven without a measurable impact on the world around us. Our expression of faith must have an effect on the death, loss, and destruction we are confronted with on a daily basis. These tragic realities are the enemy's fingerprints. Our faith must be a right-now faith that replaces the fingerprints of darkness and limitation with the fingerprints of a loving Father who sent his Son to redeem, restore, rebuild, and renew. This is faith touching the now of life. Wisdom is often thought of as the more stoic part of life. It is often treated as the ability to solve problems or make difficult decisions. As important as that may be, this is good, but anemic definition has removed wisdom from its place of significance in much of our culture. For wisdom is better than jewels. And all desirable things cannot compare with her. Proverbs 8:11.
Mm-hmm.
If wisdom is to have such a primary place in our lives, then a culture of wisdom is to be expected, impacting the world now. Choose wisely. Choose God. Choose kingdom thoughts. And be a person that brings the possible. That's our teaching for tonight.
It's a good teaching, Sue. It's something that should make us all think and see where we sit and stand in that timeline of that teaching. Because it's really important. Like you said, you know, wisdom, she is better than fine jewels. And you notice we've had the expression pearls of wisdom. And wisdom is something, usually we think of it coming with age, but it's also something that can come at an early age. Because, you know, a simplistic way to define wisdom is intelligence plus experience, information plus experience equals wisdom. But wisdom is experience. Wisdom is something that is known. It's something that's felt. It's something that we experience, something that we can express. You know, and I think that teaching was really good because it told us, yeah, we are looking forward to the return of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. But nobody can put a time on it as to when. We know it's in the latter days, and people think we're in the latter days now, which I would agree we are in the first fruits of the latter days. But instead of focusing on his return, we are told to be about our Father's business. We're told to prepare. Even way back in the days of the Old Testament, they thought Jesus was going to be an earthly king in their lifetime. But they had no clue about the coming age of grace that we are in right now with the body of Christ. They had no concept of that. Jesus didn't teach them about it. It wasn't known to them. And they just had, they thought that when Jesus went to the cross, it was all over. But really, that's where it all began. And when he was resurrected from the dead and then actually came back to his disciples and people saw him, 100, 200 people witnessed his return. It was Jesus alive in a resurrection body. Yes, he walked through walls. He did eat fish, you know, and he ate with them. And basically he was in this resurrection body that looked probably awesome, better than he did when he was in his normal human body. But the point is that they were looking for him to come back, yes. You know, the Bible says keep looking up. In other words, continue to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But really, we're to occupy, meaning do what God has called us to do, which is what we're doing, until he comes. And the return of Christ, you got two things. You got him coming down in the clouds to pick up the great catching away of the body of Christ, the church. And the church is not a building. It's the people that are part of the body of Christ. And so when that the resurrection of the dead, the body of Christ, where our bodies are changed in the twinkling of an eye, two resurrection bodies, we're to go up and we're with Jesus in heaven for 7 years for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then after that, when Jesus comes back to vanquish the Antichrist and his assistants and those that are in the Battle of Armageddon, which is going to be an incredible thing against Israel, you know, Jesus vanquishes all of the enemies with the power of his tongue. Whether we're there actually to witness it or not, I'm not sure. I've heard it both ways. But the point is that the kingdom of God includes the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to have a kingdom in Jerusalem of 1,500 miles tall, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles wide. Look at it like a kingdom cube that comes down to the earth after all the enemies are vanquished, and Jesus will rule and reign from the throne of David in this kingdom for 1,000 years. Hence the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not just going to rule Jerusalem or the far Middle East. He rules the world from there. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, you can be there, or you will be there, or maybe those of us who are here in the States, maybe we don't hang out in that particular kingdom, but we will be here for it. We'll be here for it. So, what do we do in the meantime? We occupy until he comes. That's what we're doing on the Big Call. We're occupying this space. We're telling you what's going on to the best of our ability and our knowledge. We've got Sue's projects that she helped do, 30,000 projects for us with our listeners on Big Call Universe. And she's doing classes. She's up to like 218 classes that she's done. And Bob has been educating us for 10 years or more now about our nutrition, our health, how to prepare and have longevity of life. And I'm trying to keep you guys in a state of readiness for what is about to happen. But we're all called to do something, even now in this time, before the blessing comes. I want you to know that that's an important step that we do right now as we prepare for the blessing and also for the return of the Lord. When is that going to happen? I personally think, and I'll be done in a second, I personally don't think we would have the greatest turnover of wealth in the history of the world, or the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes back in a week and a half. I don't see it. I think God will allow us to do what it is that He intends for us to do in this earth until such time as He is ready to collect His church in the great catching away, gathering of the body of Christ. But until that time, we're just going to listen to God, be in touch with God, be in prayer with God, listen, speak, and just meditate day and night on His word and on who He is and who we are in Christ and He in us. So that's what I got out of your teaching. Now, I can keep going, Sue, if you like. But I really think that is what we're called to do, you guys, right now, is to be still and know that He is God and just be ready to move forward with our projects, with this blessing. And I think it's right around the corner. I think it's right here. And I'll have some things in my intel segment that'll confirm that to us. Okay? So that's what I got out, Sue. Thank you so much for everything that you brought tonight in that teaching. Bob?
You're welcome, Bruce.
Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to you, Bob. Bob, who was it that said this before you do your segment? Who was it that said, baseball been very, very good to me? Baseball been very, very good to me. Was that a thing, Bob, a real thing?
It was a real thing. I think, I don't know for sure, but I think it might have been Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, Manny. Yeah, probably was. Well, Bob, tell me about this teaching from your point of view. How did you see it, and what will you add to it?
Well, first, Bruce, I just want to say, I was just sitting here in amazement of everything that you got out of that teaching. It was like,
yes.
Here's this great teaching, and then here comes Bruce, who got so much out of the teaching, I can't remember what was in the teaching.
I know. Thank you, Bob.
I think it had something to do with the possible.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah, so.
Yes.
Yeah. What I was thinking before, now I'm thinking something totally different. It's like there was another whole new teaching.
Right, and, right.
I think the whole idea of the possible is really, really powerful, because once we realize that there is nothing that's impossible, and that because we have the whole kingdom of heaven within us, we know we can create, you know, as much as we can possibly imagine. But what we can imagine is the power of God is probably really just a little sliver of that power. We can see through, you know, videography telescopes, we can see kind of the size of the universe that was created, but we can't really wrap our mind around 2 trillion galaxies. Right? It's like, what was possible with just, you know, God deciding to hum a little song and hum the universe into existence is so much vastly more gigantic than we are. It's hard to imagine. So our possible can be really, really big. And hopefully someday we'll find out what the real possible is. If you have an attitude about, you know, thinking big and that I can and I will, and, you know, especially during this time where we're on the big call and we're talking about projects we want to accomplish, it's great to really think big. It will help to guide what might happen, you know, the rest of our lives in terms of where we go, what we do, what we dream of, what we can imagine, what kind of problems we could solve, what can we create, and, you know, what our standards are. What is our standard in regard to the possible? And, you know, and I also love the part that both of you addressed about the return. And I started thinking, oh, man, you know, what will he see when he returns in me? It's like, what will be what will be the observation, I should say? And what about my work on behalf of him and his father and the kingdom? How might that be looked upon? Did I, you know, face down the devil when it was right in front of me? You know, did I stay away from, you know, the wasteful activities that the devil might have wanted to lead me into? Did I intervene when the devil was overpowering someone with less strength than me? And did I intervene, save, and to admonish and to banish? And was I a person who helped to build good things and rebuild after bad things and encourage people and to love other people and to heal? And how did I do in regard to studying and reading the Word and praying? And I started thinking, well, am I sure? What will he see in me? And do I need to raise my standards? And if I'm going to raise my standards to something higher, when I thought I was doing well, how would I do such a thing? And maybe I need to pray, to ask, what should my new upregulated standard be? And listen carefully and feel it and pronounce with a solemn utterance that I shall raise my standard to this new level. I'll be more consistent. I'll be excellent. And I will examine with all my heart what is my spectacular in his eyes. And can I and shall I make that spectacular routine?
That's good, Bob.
That's good.
That's right.
Yep.
Up-leveling, raising your standard. Yep. I heard a teaching about how to do that tonight before the call. Really good stuff. It was making me think of that. I think that there was a lot of good things in what you said, Bob. I appreciate that. And Sue, this is a little precursor, but I do have two prayer requests tonight, just to let you know. So tell me, Sue, I really enjoyed this teaching. And actually, kind of like Bob, I was hearing things in the teaching that I was going to comment on. And then I got skewed and kind of the Holy Spirit took me in a different direction. And I may have circled back to a little bit of the teaching, but it wasn't exactly what I intended to talk about as I was listening to it. So tell me how you felt about the teaching. Yeah, that's true. Tell me what,
I'm gonna have some fun with this, boy.
You're gonna have some fun
so
with
the
this?
Teaching. Uh-oh. Yeah. All right, everybody write this down.
Uh-oh, write this.
The teaching, and no interruption, please. Approaching yes. Life. Christ said, I came to bring life and more abundantly. Yes? And so the whole teaching, what did you know that there was a pastor by the name of John Wimber? And he said, faith is spelled risk. What did Christ demonstrate? He demonstrated
risk.
What did he demonstrate? He demonstrated things like raising the dead, walking on water, having, you know, people try to walk on water and then because of their doubt and unbelief, they fell through. Feeding masses. That wasn't secular thinking. That wasn't material thinking. That was another, okay, now here's where the pen comes in. That was a new dimension. Faith is a new dimension of thinking. A higher dimension. It's outside the bounds. It's when you get trapped in saying, okay, I'm stuck here. And why do I do that? Because I'm hypnotized by what I'm participating in. This is what happened to me when I was playing tennis competitively. No, I wasn't a professional tennis player. But I did have the ability to, like, all of a sudden when I was down, I'd, like, roar back.
Rally.
Because I remembered that energy, just like all of us, is in us. And here's what's interesting about this. There's what I'm about is getting people ready. You're going to hear that in my segment tonight. But the readiness is getting out of what everybody thinks. And this is the hard part. This is the really, really hard part. Everybody on this call knows what it's like to present a possibility that is so beyond med beds, RV, trillionaires, billionaires. That is so beyond what most people can comprehend.
Mm,
so right. They know what it's like to be crucified. Most people know what it's like if they didn't take the job. All these things. If you didn't participate in what most people believe in, you're already walking in a very special frequency, which is why you come to this call, which is why we train with all the stuff that I do with the pod and the classes and med beds and all of that. You're training, just like Bob said, to raise and stay at a new frequency. A new frequency of faith, but most importantly, embodying that faith. That means your mind, your heart, your body are walking in such a clear, coherent space that people are going to listen to you You're not going to be reactive. You're going to be leading your families when they're all, what's all this change? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what the faith of the baseball players that Bob was talking about, that faith had them playing until 3 o'clock in the morning, surpassing what most people think is possible. To me, and you can do this bit by bit. You don't have to go, oh, my God, you know, I don't want to be all that big and all that. It's to practice being the person that chooses more faith every single day, more possibility, more what does it feel like to be the possibility of Christ who walked on water. What is it going to be like to be the possibility of Christ with disciples? That's your teams around you saying, let's do something remarkable and impossible. What is it like? Are you doing that in your life right now? Are you looking for people that believe things and are willing to be with you and talk about really radical, embodied leadership? Or are you just hanging out with the same people talking about the same old stuff and thinking you're going to be ready when this goes? That's not your, you don't have your motivation. You don't have your motivation engine on. You don't have your, like, this is my purpose. I'm going to get with people. I'm going to do something. I'm going to surround myself with people that are who are living to create something new. Faith is not about repeating and going back to what you know only. That can be grounding. Faith is stepping into the unknown with Christ and creating ever new abilities, talents, etc. And that's your readiness. Your readiness is, okay, I know this is happening. I have to do something new. And so Bob's example at the beginning of this call about those players and how they were playing, they went until 3 o'clock. The call that you never know when a breakthrough is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when this is going to be popping. And basically, I want everybody on this call, and I'm ending right now, you've got to own. Because if you don't own it, you're going to just feel like, oh, I'm a fool for believing in it, and I'm just going to come along for this next call. Own the faith, the endurance, the strength that you had to walk this out. If you own that, that's setting up your readiness already. That's making anything possible, that you could do it day by day by day. That's still a great strength. So what I want to say to everybody here on this call, getting ready.
It is. That was really good. I love that. Nice summary, essentially, of what you got out of it and you tied in. Yeah, that's good. The other thing is, Sue, so when we play tennis, the name of the game is not to get you down 5-1 and watch you make a comeback on me. Is that the plan?
Let's see. Oh, God, is that going to be a day? I know Bob wants to be on the side court. I think it's going to be... I don't want to say this.
Better not say, Sue. We'll
I'm
have the stands full. Stands will be full of Big Call Universe.
I know a few people rooting for me, and the other side rooting for you. Yeah, I know a few people in Arizona that would like to have a hidden camera on that tennis court.
I know some people who have a cat who would like
God,
to watch
that's
that
funny.
Too, with a kitty cat.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
Leo.
maybe we'll get the emergency broadcast system to announce it.
No, I don't think so. Well, we'll have that
Bobby
Riggs, Billie Jean King match.
Yeah.
No, it'll be fun. Listen, all we want to do, Sue, is keep the ball in play. And if you want to try to zing one by me, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it'll be fun to play. It'll be fun. Thank you, Sue. I love that. Let's take us from that teaching, which I thought was really good, and I know I went off in a different direction with it, but that's what I was motivated to do.
You went to what you knew. Bruce, you went to what you knew. That's what you did. So that was good.
That's right.
You went to what you knew.
Well, that's right.
Yep.
And now let's go to what we know about praise reports and prayer requests, of which I have two.
Yeah. Okay, why don't you go ahead on yours?
Let me go first.
I'm going to reflect on something. Okay.
You want to catch something? Okay. Let me just say this, guys. We knew that there was a hurricane out there in the Caribbean, and it ends up Hurricane Melissa was a Category 5 hurricane that was bearing down heavily on Jamaica and hit Jamaica squarely with, I've heard, up to 170-mile-an-hour winds. Now, I've been to Jamaica 3 times, and back in 1978, I was staying in, at the time, they called it Ocho Rios, R-I-O-S, which any Spanish person knows is Rios, which is rivers. Ocho, eight, Ocho Rios, 8 rivers. Well, the British influence taught them to pronounce it Rios, which I've never really liked. And then more recently, it's being pronounced Ocho Rios. So that's a good thing. But anyway, in that particular town or area, there was a hotel called the Tower Isle Hotel. And out in the water, about a half a mile, was this little island with a tower on it. It wasn't a real lighthouse, but it was like a tower that was out there. And the trick was to get out there and swim to it and then swim back. No problem. But watch out for the black urchins, sea urchins, with the spines, with the poison. You had to have a guide, really, to make sure you didn't step on these sea urchins as you were going out there. All that to say, a lot of Jamaica, you know, some of it's mountainous. You know, I think they call it the Blue Mountains. They've got the coffee there. You've got Dunn's River Falls, which I imagine is flowing like a major river now from this hurricane. I'm going to pray for, and I've been up Dunn's River Falls. I've been to Montego Bay. Haven't been to Kingston Town, where the government is seated and based. But I have been, I've flown into it, to Mo Bay, and I've also flown out of Ocho Rios back to Mo Bay to fly out, which was really cool because I got to see the island from the air and then enjoy it. Well, Jamaica has a 7-mile beach. It's very famous, and it's very beautiful, easy to swim and snorkel on. All I'm saying is, guess what the next island is probably going to be for us for Rebuild International? Probably Jamaica. So we've got to keep those guys in prayer. I think this hurricane's probably, and we won't know for a day or two, probably what the full effect of it is. But we think that the hurricane is basically off of the coast of Jamaica by now and is on its way to Cuba, a piece of Cuba, and then part of the lower Bahamas, and possibly Turks and Caicos is in the path too. So let's just pray right now for, I just want to pray for the people of Jamaica and those other islands, including Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, where we have a base there. As you guys know, we call it Gitmo, Guantanamo, Gitmo, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, you know. Don't get me singing. I'll start singing in Spanish. Well, Lord God, we just pray for the people that were in the path of this storm. Melissa, thank you for protecting them, for us being able to help restore the properties when the time comes for that. We pray that the wind and the rain are not absolutely devastating to these islands, but rather that circumvent and the people that are being moved can move to areas of safety. Thank you for keeping an eye on that and, of course, keeping the storm off of the coast of the United States. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Kind of went along. I just remember Jamaica very fondly for many reasons. And the other prayer request I have is for a friend of mine named Ron, who went through surgery today, and it was outpatient surgery, and it went successfully. And I just pray for his complete restoration and healing to take place as soon as possible, right away. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, Sue, tossing it back to you.
Thank you, Bruce. So I want to say a prayer for a member of the pod and her husband. Her name is K-A-T, not K-A-T-T. We have another cat. And Kat, Bob, you may know this. I can't remember the name. I could have looked it up, but she did that really long, is it 800-mile hike in Portugal and Spain? What is it, Bob? Do you know? What is it called? Do you know?
800-mile anyway, hike in Portugal?
Yeah,
in Spain?
Okay, oh, here we go. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Hold on. It's called the Camino. And it's, Karen, if you have that number. She and her husband, he has cancer. Or let's put it this way. He's been diagnosed. He doesn't have it. He's been diagnosed. Right. It makes it a little more objective. He's been diagnosed with cancer, and they've come back after doing this incredible hike. So I want to ask everybody, 800 miles, so good, I got that right. Thank you, Karen. And so they did this incredible, like, just a walking trail all through that region. And they came back, and now they're getting ready to move through this procedural environment. So I want everybody to just put your hand on your heart, if you are inclined. And that activates your heart neurons. And just imagine that Christ was infusing you with 10 times the amount of heart frequency that you normally have. And I want you to give some of that to yourself. And imagine that you're so filled with love that you're giving it to yourself, and now you're directing it outward to everybody on this call. And then to everybody, including Kat and her husband, who are facing trials. And this is for you, Kat. We see you and your husband surrounded with this tsunami of pure Christ light. Christ is with you. The big call is with you. The millions of listeners are with you.
And you're such a powerful leader, and your husband must be pretty spectacular to be with a woman like you. And you did such an incredible trip. Imagine all that light amplifying through you and bringing you into the timeline where all the solutions, all the answers, everything that you need for the frequency of Christ's highest healing is what you live in now. What would that look like if you were intimate with miracle healing? What would miracle healing look like if you really knew what that was in Christ? We see that surrounding the two of you. We see your home. We see every doctor's office or place that you go. We see you walking in that frequency, and it's just growing and growing exponentially every day in Jesus' name. And we say, amen.
Amen.
485 miles. That's what
El Camino, the way or the path.
Well, and now we're going to go to Pastor Scott. Tonight's word is for our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We're blessed to have been given the last part of the Godhead by Jesus as he ascended. Big Call Universe, we're covered in love, favor, and grace. Our lives are secure in him. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, well, then we need to talk. As believers, what is ahead of us actually is the blessing. Be blessed and love you all, Pastor Scott.
Mm.
That's for Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Thank you so much. Good.
And then Jeannie, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103:1-5. Stop worrying. God is making a way. God is with you. He will calm your heart. Have faith and hold on to hope. Don't give up. Trust his perfect timing. God loves you. Isaiah 41:10. We continue to pray for all the leaders, millions of listeners, RV blessings to come to fruition, and especially med beds to be available very soon. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen and amen. Everyone have a blessed and safe week. Jeannie. Those are our praise and prayer.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Prayer report. Time hack, Bruce, is 9:56.
Roger that. We are running late. Yes, I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate that very much. Thank you, Jeannie. Excellent stuff. No comment. I'm going to turn it right over to Bob. No, I'm not. I'm going to turn it over to you, Sue. We're not even, I felt like we had your segment. We haven't even started your segment. Okay. Sue, tell us what it is you'd like us to know tonight. This is going to be a good call, I know.
It is going to be a good call because what have we done already? Pens out, please. Pens out. This is important.
Pen and pad.
Pen and pad. We did the teaching, which is about walking in life, meaning awakening into more life. And I was getting ready. I'm doing a class called The Ultimate Readiness Experience. It's called Not a Class 5. And Bob is going to really like this, I hope. And it turns out that my favorite things, which is, you know, these new fields of emerging disciplines and sciences, and how we're beginning to get multiple disciplines and interdisciplinary research. Here's what you want to write down. Readiness science. There's actually a field called readiness science, and I sent out a bonus article to the people, which sadly is full. The class is already full. What is readiness science, and how does it apply to you? And I'm going to give you a really couple of good tips that, even though you're not going to take this class, is going to help you with this. But I want you to understand, because this is going to get into your families. In a world where change is accelerating, unpredictable, and multi-layered, the concept of readiness has gained traction across disciplines. But what exactly is readiness science? And what does it mean for you, especially if you're preparing to move into a higher purpose role, align with new frequencies, and lead with integrity and vision? At its essence, readiness science is the interdisciplinary study of how individuals, teams, organizations, and even systems prepare themselves for effective action or emergence. It focuses not just on what you do, but how prepared you are to do it emotionally, cognitively, relationally, structurally, and spiritually. A core model in implementation science frames readiness as, here you want to write this down. So this is what you want to do. You want to think about this with your family and yourself. Readiness equals motivation times general capacity times innovation equals specific capacity. So motivation is the will to engage in the change or mission. So look at you, and then look at your family, because I know this community very intimately. Over 10 years, I've got to work with thousands of people. So look at you. Your will to engage in the change or mission. So you've got you. General capacity. How have you prepared? How have you read? How have you learned about culture, about leadership, about skills? And then innovation-specific capacity is the knowledge and tools and supports you need for this mission. It's a living system. If one component is weak, readiness drops. This is all got all the resources identified, Wiener 2020. Readiness also includes neural, relational, and energetic alignment. So here's what you want to do. If you're hearing this, the first thing you want to do is think, what is the most important thing I want to be ready for? And knowing the people that I know, the thing you want to be most ready for is to be able, when this goes, you want to say, can I practice getting, can I tell my family, can I get practiced at giving myself the space so I can focus and say, okay, let's have a family meeting at 6 o'clock 2 days after this goes. That's the most important thing, because what I hear a lot about is, remember, you're going to go, and then people are going to be getting money. So people all around you are going to be wanting to talk to you, do this, do that. Your most important thing is to get ready by thinking about, how do I want to be clear with the people that are around me so I can focus on what I need to do to stay in connection with them and also walk out the first week with clarity. And we're going to make something available next week in case this doesn't go. But I wanted to give you that. I'd be starting to text people and say, you know, in the next couple of weeks, I may not be as available, but I could set it up, you know, at 6 o'clock if you want to talk. I'd be making sure that I had the space and clarity to really focus on this so your head is free. That is huge, huge. So that prepared leaders amplify others. Implementation research shows that 68% of early success is about doing what I just told you. 68%. 68%.
Mm-hmm.
So your number one thing is, do you have the structure and the rhythms that will support you in this transition? That's your freebie on the science of readiness. Because if you're in rhythm and you get clear, and instead of having, hey, Mom, I need to go to the grocery store, or, hey, you know, honey, I'm just going to do this, start to push, get that moved aside now. Start saying, you know what, I'm gonna have to, during these hours, I'm going to be doing this for a good week. And if you do that, you'll be walking into the Redemption Center calm. You'll be walking back into your family calm. You need to get boundaries around this first week. This is the most important thing that's ever happened in your life. And if your nervous system is centered, that's going to be the foundation for you to walk this out with, what did I say, 68% greater clarity. A lot of people don't think about that. They have no readiness science. That's everything that we do. It's all readiness science. So that with more clarity, what happens? People are more available. They're clearer. They're more competent. They less strain on the system. It's about grace. So do your spiritual practice, create the space, figure out what kind of rhythm and what kind of clarity you can bring to this first week so you don't have a lot of noise in your head, and you will have a 68% increase in your effectiveness from the latest readiness science research. Now, who loves you? Who loves you? Who's out there studying all this? I know. It's about a leader in alignment radiates stability. Coherence between purpose, nervous system, and mission creates resonance in teams in environments. That's from Rennero et al. 2020. So readiness science is here for you. It's very important. And the more you can learn about it, start looking it up, the more you can ready your teams, yourself, your families, your community. It's all about training towards coherence, not fragmented attention, developing that capacity in yourself. And that's all I have to say for tonight. Oh, I have two testimonials. I'll read real quick. Sorry.
No.
These were fun. I'm taking all my, when this goes, we're going to be shuttering for a while. So I'm gathering all the things that we've done over 10 years, the science of readiness, the future of leadership testimonials. One short, like Bob, this class was absolutely breathtaking. This other one, thanks again for the awesome, mind-blowing class, an hour to transform my life. And the final one, pulling the trigger for the cost of leadership mastery was like choosing to end my life, but I did it. Without the phenomenal education, I know, extraordinary confidence I gained in a short period with Sue saved my life. Not just your life, it's your family's life. If too much is coming at you all at once and all this change is happening, your nervous system is going to react. That's why I talk like this all the time. It's just like, get on it. And will truly enhance the success of my three projects. The best part is that as soon as I made the decision to invest in the training, the money became readily available.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
anything you could do with clarity and coherence and being a master of your attention, be all in. Master of attention in Christ. And that's my segment for tonight.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate that. Very nice. Looking forward to more commentary about that later. Okay. Bob, we are running late, but I don't want you to cut short, and I'm not going to cut my segment short. It's just, it is what it is. So tell us how everything's going, any testimonials, and anything else that you think we need to know, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's only 10 after 10, Bruce, so we're good.
Good.
There's just a few cool things tonight. We do have some testimonials. This one is about collagen. You know, a lot of people use collagen, which is, you know, collagen is the main protein that your body makes. It makes 13 different kinds of collagen, and it doesn't make any other protein as much as that. And as we age, we make less of it. So lots and lots of people take collagen peptides. And this testimonial came in and said, if you've tried a lot of different collagen products, then you know a good one is hard to find. And especially hard to find is results. Well, look no more. This collagen works immediately. The same day, I can feel my nails are stronger.
Wow.
It works great. Has a nice consistency. You can put it in your coffee. Highly recommend.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want your nails to feel stronger, just take some collagen, look at your nails and feel it, and there you go. You'll have it. Stronger nails. That was a great testimonial. Nails felt strong on the first day.
I love it.
So this is a testimony about omega-3s. And, you know, omega-3 fatty acids are so crucial. Someone was asking me about it earlier today in the office. They're saying, well, do I really need to take omega-3s? What does it do? Da, da, da. This testimonial came in. It says, I love this product so much, and it works. I now have my mom taking it daily as well. And she didn't say exactly what it was doing for her, but omega-3s can do a lot of things. They can, you know, reduce arthritic pain. They can give you more energy. They can make your brain feel like it's working better, which it probably actually is. You know, omega-3s make up the lining, the membrane of the cells in your eyes, the cones and the rods. And mm-hmm. and there's an acid in those fatty acids called DHA. And the DHA makes up part of that cell membrane. It's an ancient molecule that hasn't changed in 2 billion years. And it's very proficient at helping to convert or transduce photons from light from the sun into electrons. And to a large extent, your brain is being powered by electricity that is coming from that process where those fatty acids are helping to convert sunlight into electricity that's helping your brain work. So a lot of people feel more brain power. Here's a lady sent in a picture of herself that looks like her high school graduation photo, but she's saying yeah. that she's 76 years old, but then I saw that it was a testimonial about Myotrol and Boomer Boost. I realized that it probably was a recent picture. So she says, I'm 76 years young. I am always open to more ways to stay healthy. I've been taking both Myotrol and Boomer Boost for nearly 2 months, and I've noticed a significant improvement in my energy and muscle strength. I've also been taking the Good Night Sleep formula for about 4 years, and definitely appreciate and enjoy the benefits of going to sleep easily, returning to sleep when I awaken to use the restroom, and getting into a dream space. Great products. Thank you. This another one came in about Myotrol. And so I love these types of testimonials. These come in. It says, I've been taking Myotrol for a few months, but I forgot to mark my calendar of when I started. So I'm 85 and a half years old. I live alone, and I drive at night, and I work out. I've decided to stop taking Myotrol for a few weeks to see if I notice the difference when I'm not taking it. It's a good strategy.
Okay.
It's another one. We got a couple more about Goodnight Formula. This guy writes in all capitals, this is an absolute game changer in the sleep department. Thank you.
Yep. That's good.
And that's our testimonials for the night. And I wanted to say this also, Bruce, this is probably the last week we're going to do the sale we have going on. And
That's right. Yeah.
A lot of people are taking advantage of it. A real lot. And it's because every one of our products is on sale. And it's on sale for either 10, 15, or 20% off, depending on how much you spend in your cart. And what people can stack this on top of their auto ship discount of 10%. And so some people are getting 30% discounts on their products right now. I mean, that's a really amazing thing. Even when we do really great sales for things like Black Friday or Christmas time, we don't have sales that are that good. And so absolutely take advantage of it. A few more days to go. And then lastly, Bruce, you know, there's going to be a confirmation hearing coming up. I didn't say exactly what day, but in the next couple of days. And it's going to be for the Surgeon General. And this is a woman, Dr. Casey Means, M-E-A-N-S. Mm-hmm. And she's very highly focused on preventative medicine and helping people to avoid having to have surgeries. And she's actually not going to be able to be, if she gets confirmed in the next day or two, she won't be able to be at the ceremony because she's just about ready to have a baby herself.
Oh, wow.
And this is going to be a big, big game changer to finally have a surgeon general that is really going to be focused on making people's health care a lot more affordable and a lot more focused on prevention. And it's kind of something that's going under the radar a little bit, but in working together, you know, with RFK Jr., I think that she's going to be a really, really great Surgeon General. And wanted to let people know that that was coming up. And that's what I got, Bruce. It's 20 after 10.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Thank you, Bob. That's wonderful. And that'll be a great appointment for her. Hope she gets confirmed soon. And hope she has a wonderful baby in her in that process. Well, let's talk a little bit about how to get to Boomers. First of all, go to bigcalluniverse.com. That's my site. And at the top, you'll see a banner that says Boomers. It's a direct link to Bob's site, so click on it. Take you right into the Boomers website, and then you can go through and look at the various products and choose whatever products you want to put on sale based on the volume that you buy. Okay, $75 gets you 10%. $150 gets you 15%. $200 or more takes you to 20% off. And that way you can create your own sale with the products that you want to put on sale. And then, of course, you do that, and the 800 number to call is 800-861-4609. 800-861-4609. If you have a question or if you just have to, you just are looking for some additional information, there is so much on the website that you'll be able to see. It'll be very easy for you to go through and place your order online. Most people, 98.3.5% of the people do everything online, put it in their cart, and just check out and do it that way. Terrific opportunity. Take advantage of it. Now let's transition over to Intel now. I've got a few things to bring to you, starting with what happened yesterday at 10:30 in the morning Eastern Daylight Time. The Supreme Court voted 6-3 in favor of President Trump as the commander-in-chief for the restored constitutional republic of the United States as of yesterday morning at 10:30 a.m. That's a very good thing that's going on. And as such, President Trump is going to have the ability to clean house in all positions throughout the country. And that'll be good. Beyond that, what we understand is let's talk about Nasara first. Nasara and Jassara are supposed to kick off in the first week of November. The USN, we know the currency, the actual folding money, the new money, the USTN currency, is already in the banks and in the redemption centers because we know people that have delivered it there. Okay? So that's good news. It's there and ready and waiting for us. With Nasara starting in, we believe, the first week of November, which, by the way, November 1st is this Saturday, 2 days from now, so we're very close to it. No, it's not 2 days. 4 days from now. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was already Thursday. It's still Tuesday. All right, my bad. So, where does that put us? According to our connections with the lead bank, Wells Fargo, we believe what we're hearing is that notifications for us in Tier 4B, the internet group, are to come out between either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, which is the 1st of November, right? Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Now, that's not far off. The other thing that's major is supposed to happen on Thursday is the St. Germain Trust is to be opened. And I know it's not Christmas yet, and I know it's past Easter, but they're opening it up Thursday, and the funds that they take out of it, out of that trust, will be used for Nasara and Jasara. Now, what we've referred to in the past as Doge payment is pretty substantial, and that payment is coming by direct deposit to age 30 and over. 30 all the way up will get a payment, and it should start in the neighbor of $200,000, maybe between $200,000 and $300,000, and then work its way up all the way to where anybody 65 and older, I'm understanding, will be at around $495,000. Just under a half a mil. Now, that's a nice piece of change. It's going to be not as significant for us that are exchanging. When will that come out? We understand it should come out in the first week of November. Okay? So then we've got that to look forward to. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? So we have the timing for us, what does that mean if it comes out Thursday or Friday or Saturday, the 1st of November? It's most likely to come out where we would set our appointments and exchange in the first week of November, which would be Monday, Tuesday would be what, the 3rd and 4th of November. We don't know if it's possible that we get notified, for example, Thursday and go Friday, or Friday and go Saturday. So I think we just have to plan on the USN coming out between the 1st and the 3rd of November is what I'm hearing. So let's call it early first week of November. And I think we need the USN to be out in terms of announced. Probably Scott Bessent, our Treasury Secretary, is who I would think would announce it. We don't know for sure, but I would say that makes sense. So we'll see what happens. But it's very encouraging to get this happening, the new USN getting the Doge payment in the first week of November, and also getting Nasara and Jasara kicked off then as well. And there's quite a bit in Nasara, and I think they're going to roll it out between November and the end of the year. So you might not see everything in the first week or two. It could roll out a little bit at a time, and we might get some disclosure in that time frame about some of the things that are going on that we know about with the arrests and so on. Okay, we'll see what that looks like. But that's really the majority of what is applicable to us moving into November. Social Security increases obviously did not happen this month. Nope. So we don't know for sure when they're going to occur. I would think it would happen now, based on the information we have, would happen in November. So we'll see how that, what that looks like. R&R could either be at the Redemption Center for us waiting, or it could also be a direct deposit for us that have currency to exchange and ZIM to redeem. President Trump has been, you know, in Southeast Asia, in Japan yesterday, putting trade deals together with Japan. I believe it was with North and South Korea today, getting that squared away. China, I think, is also done already, and he's got that lined up. I think there were 9 countries that were involved in, let's call it, the Southeast Asian Trade Summit. Let's call it that, that were there. And also Zimbabwe was there. Zimbabwe, not a Southeastern Asian country, but they were there. I wonder why. Okay. So everything is lining up for us beautifully. I think that, yeah, I have a feeling we'll get notified and start our exchanges first week in November in the new USN. And it's there ready for us right now. They were doing deliveries of USN, USTN rather, the actual United States Treasury notes, and more Q phones. Q phones have been delivered to the redemption centers for ZIM holders only. Bit. And they're satellite phones. They'll work on the Starlink satellite system. Well, that's going to be cool. Other than that, I think I've covered what I really wanted to cover tonight. I've given you the timeline that we're looking at. Bondholders, we didn't get confirmation on exactly when they're going to get their emails to tell them they have access to their funds, but it should run pretty close to when we're going in the first few days of November, probably, when we're getting our exchanges started. Okay, so that's what I've got for tonight. I just want to thank Sue for doing a beautiful job tonight on everything. And Bob, great opportunity there. Beautiful. Take advantage of the sale for the last several days. And remember, guys, we go to daylight savings time this coming Sunday at 2 a.m. If I remember right, we fall back, meaning we lose an hour of sleep in the fall. So we'll see. Your phone will tell you and will change the time for you automatically. Thank goodness. So thank Bob. I want to thank GCK, Jeannie, thank you so much. Pastor Scott, thank you again. And thank you, Doug. And thank you, Larry. And Bob and everybody that has contributed to the big call. Thank you, satellite team, for getting the message out so beautifully all over the globe. And thank you, Big Call Universe, for listening for 14 years. And thank you for your faithfulness. Let's just take this and keep praying for those Caribbean island nations that are in the path of this Hurricane Melissa. Pray for them to be safe. Very limited to no loss of life, hopefully, and then just it'll be a project for us in Rebuild International. So everybody, have a blessed night and a great day tomorrow, and we will look forward to seeing you on Thursday. So let's pray the call out. Lord God, we thank you so much for making everything available to us that we have right now, blessing us. And thank you for this opportunity, which is coming to us very, very shortly. We thank you for all that you've done to get us ready for this. Readiness is important, and that's what we need to be, completely ready and ready to share what we can with family members and friends. Give us a good night's sleep, and give us a great day tomorrow, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday.